We had developed so much technologically that we were looking for new habitable planets and came across Earth.
Peter. Were you alone on Earth?
Raina.
Yes, but we left Earth again.
Peter.
Did the colonists develop further?
Raina.
They brought children into the world and left Earth, but the children stayed behind with their knowledge of Aldebaran.
Peter.
How many planets does the Aldebaran system have?
Raina.
5, 3 home planets. Sumeran, Elaran, Naran and 2 small ones.
Peter.
Are the planets artificial?
Raina.
3 are normal original planets and 2 were artificially created by us.
Peter.
Can we ask private questions?
Raina.
If it is possible.
Peter.
People are to be activated at Christmas. How are they to be activated? By picking them up or by remote activation?
Raina. Partly, partly.
We will pick up people and activate them via implants. They will suddenly have memories and know what they have to do.
They will be surprised by their actions.
Peter. Why are the pickups hidden as a night operation?
Raina.
Because certain circles know about it and they don't want us to activate people. These people have important tasks to help people. Only certain people have been chosen.
Peter.
What have these people been chosen for?
Raina.
For this work. We can use their magnetic field to determine to what extent they have consciously accepted their task.
Peter.
Will some people be picked up again?
Raina.
Some need intensive treatment.
Peter.
Does nothing happen by chance?
Raina.
No, it is all planned. Don't worry, you will do what is right and we will lead and guide you if necessary. There may be war with the USA, then we will act anyway, as the Earth should not suffer great damage.
Peter.
Can you tell me the date?
Raina.
I can't tell you, it won't be long now. You have to believe in yourselves. 1997 is an important year. Believe in yourself and your intuition. You must listen to your inner strength, the power of thought. With powerful thoughts you can achieve more than with 1,000 weapons.
End statements. The Aldebarans are interfering in our development because they are our direct ancestors. From this perspective, we humans are actually the extraterrestrials, because our ancestors and therefore we too once came from outside and first settled this planet. But the Aldebarans also claim that they were not the only extraterrestrial race to establish colonies on Earth at that time and thus intervene here. This came to light in another session, which is not published here, however. According to this, at least after them, other extraterrestrials also landed on Earth and also established colonies. This statement would also be consistent with that of the Syrians, the Pleiadians, but also with the traditions from the Sumerian tablets. See Back to Our Future by Bob Frisell, The Messengers of the New Dawn by Barbara Marciniak and The 12th Planet by Zechariah Sitchin. Thus, perhaps also to explain our variety of different human cultures and external appearances, the white, the red, the yellow, the black and many other races that are very different in appearance and culture. Various authors have already reported on other extraterrestrials, such as the Pleiadians or Syrians mentioned above, to name just two. We personally have no connection to them and it is not up to us to judge the extent to which their statements are correct. Perhaps there are many races that have visited and are still visiting our Earth and also people who are very intuitive and can therefore receive their messages. However, caution is always advised with mental messages. We are also cautious with Raina's trance messages. Everyone has to decide for themselves whether and to what extent they integrate channeled information in this direction into their lives and use it as true. If reading such information brings back memories of their own, it would confirm such statements to a certain extent. Fortunately, the Faisal family has received confirmation through physical experiences as well as through their scars. Furthermore, their experiences are also supported by access to documents from the German military, which represent a somewhat more solid basis. So if the information so far only vaguely corresponds to reality, Then at the end of the 20th century we humans will finally enter a new era of development through an increased frequency of consciousness and then remember our origins. We will then probably all realize that the Earth is a playground for various races of interplanetary origin. Perhaps some people have already noticed that they feel attracted to a very specific constellation of stars, that they feel a deep feeling of sadness when they look at the night sky. Who knows, maybe your great-great-great-grandfather comes from up there, or maybe even you yourself. Let us look to the future with optimism, even if the present does not seem particularly promising. If the previous statements are really true, it seems very obvious that our ancestors would also be constantly observing us and would eventually intervene if we, like little children, did something rash and destroyed everything. Not just the Aldebarans, but also other races that are well disposed towards us. When the motley crew of humanity has learned to accept that we are of extraterrestrial origin, we will also have direct contact, as a result of which we will have the opportunity to be accepted into the Planetary Federation through our learning and knowledge. An outpost of planetary trade would be created in which all races would trade with each other and we would then also have the opportunity to undertake interstellar space flights. Not to mention spiritual knowledge. Our future is definitely also outside of this Earth. Soon we will be able to spiritually set out on the path into the universe. Even with a technology that still seems unimaginable to us today. But this technology is not the key to happiness. It is a pleasant tool afterwards. Because problems on Earth are not solved by technology. Too many people lack love. That is the only problem. The differences on our Earth between races, religions and individuals would disappear if we finally practiced what the great world teachers Zarathustra, Buddha, Jesus, Saint Germain and others have taught us. If we are able to do this, then we will get paradise on Earth as a logical consequence of our own actions, the long-awaited, predetermined golden age or kingdom of peace. See also my Father Jesus 2000's book The Kingdom of Peace is approaching in the appendix. The evidence available to me suggests that we are being visited by a number of extraterrestrial groups. In some cases they may want to lend us a helping hand in our pathetic attempts to reach for the stars. Timothy Good, American UFO Logger, Chapter 19, Sandra's Memories. Karen's older daughter Sandra had been suffering from deep, subconscious fears for a long time, which were so deeply hidden inside that any form of hypnosis caused her to panic. However, she had often had dreams and visions of human-like beings that almost exactly matched those described by Karen and Raina. After another attempt at hypnosis, the breakthrough finally came on the evening of May 10, 1997. Raina asked the questions and Karen wrote, "This session is again in the narrative form, from the perspective of an 8-year-old. I see a large triangle. It is a triangular spaceship and I am so sad that it is flying away. I am 8 years old and lying in a double bed, bunk bed. They are strange men who brought me back. They have strange hair that is combed back from their foreheads and is long at the back. They have blonde hair, a narrow face and strange, large eyes, different eyes to ours. They are more slanted than ours. They look at me, but don't say anything to me. They just look at me. They take my sister Carmen with them too. She is still so small. It is the year 1981. Loud laughter. These beings don't have any eyelashes. But they are so big. I am so small in comparison. They have very long, narrow hands. Laughter. I see your son, but it is not our son. These beings have taken me with them in their spaceship several times, but I was smaller then. Laughter. Ah, here comes a little man. He looks really strange and funny. He has very long, thin arms. Loud laughter again. He has a really strange face and no real mouth. Come with me, he says to me. He speaks very strangely. He speaks completely differently to my dad. His mouth is closed, but I can still understand him. He says, come with me again. He thinks I have nice hair. The little man is very nice to me, but when he touches me I notice that he has cold and rough hands. Loud laughter again.
Oh. The big one. The creature is big. They're bringing lots of people. Now I see someone going into Mum's bedroom. Oh dear. Dad and Mom just fly out of bed through the window. Laughter again. Now I see them in the spaceship. I'm in the spaceship now too. Daddy's lying on a lounger. A strange lounger. Giggle, this lounger only has one foot, leg. Now they examine Dad's stomach. There is a strange device on his stomach with something round on the front and it moves from his stomach to his neck, similar to an ultrasound device. Now he is being measured, but he is sleeping soundly. Mom is in another room. I see her and a large being with her. She is sitting on a chair and the being gently brushes the hair from her forehead. It brushes the hair all the way back and Mom is not at all afraid of this being. Oh dear, now I notice that I am only wearing a nightgown. Oh, that's funny. In the middle of the room I see a pyramid. It is much larger than me. And there are also strange symbols on the wall. There are 5 symbols. It is half a triangle with 2 hooks. One is like a cross. The 3rd symbol is like 2 hooks. A strange symbol, but one that I have seen somewhere on Earth. The 4th is like a large V with a line on it. And the last one is a strange triangle with a smaller triangle. Now I see Dad again. He has to open his mouth. Now the little man comes and looks at his teeth. Suddenly 2 other little creatures come, one of them wearing a strange black cloak. This one is a bit bigger than the other little ones. They now take Dad's hand and cut his fingernails. They put them in a box. Now they look at his foot. Also his leg and thigh. Then they turn his foot to the side. The little one looks and I see that Dad now has a strange mark on his foot, like a hill. Suddenly another child comes into the room. He is a boy and his name is Patrick. He is wearing pajamas and is a year younger than me. I have seen him up here several times and therefore know him. I don't need to talk to him either, we understand each other anyway, telepathically. I can see the wall, it looks strange, it goes up round, shaped like a dome, very funny and completely different to ours. I can see various devices and tubes in this room, which contain strange liquids, green and blue. Now I have to go again. They are taking me back to my mom. She is already asleep at home and the little one covers her up carefully and gently. He says goodbye to me. The big one is not coming with us, he is almost always only on the spaceship. Now am I go into my room and see my sister calm and sleeping there. It is 4:17 a.m., October 7, 1981. Now I am asleep and everything is very dark. Oh dear, where is my brother Marcus? He is still so small and sweet. They are not taking him with them yet. Everyone else has already gone upstairs. Even Grandma. They are not taking Grandpa with them. Strange, they don't want him. Oh, he is probably not that important. Marcus also has big eyes, but the little creatures have even bigger eyes than him. They just want to help us and like us very much. I also know that they told their mother why they came to us. End of this hypnosis session. After this hypnosis, everyone had tears in their eyes, it had touched those present so deeply. It was very impressive and Chandra's strong emotions, her laughter and her sadness when the aliens said goodbye, had literally drawn her into the events. In any case, it was now 100% clear that all the Feistals, including the children, had been in contact with these aliens since their earliest childhood. And the reports match. Like a puzzle, the individual experiences and descriptions complement each other and increase the view of the overall scenario. And the most important thing is that everyone's original fear has given way to growing curiosity, now that they know what or who they are dealing with. Due to the success of this hypnosis, Chandra agreed to have another session. On May 11, 1997, Raina led it again and Karen noted what happened. Chandra's second hypnosis session. I'm so hot. I'm in a big round room with lots of loungers. These are arranged in a circle and there are small tables next to them. But no one is lying on the loungers. No one is there.
At the very back I see an exit, but it is not round, but triangular. I am 17 years old when this happens. It is the year 1990, the night of my birthday, September 22nd. But I see another corridor, at the very back. It looks strange, it is round and apparently goes all the way around the ship. I see a lot of strange characters on the walls. There are many symbols and all different from each other. In the room I am still in, there is also a pillar that also has symbols on it. The little creatures are now the two. There are two of them in the room, one of which looks familiar to me. To the right of pillar there is a control panel. The small creature I know tells me that I am not alone, but at the moment I cannot see anyone except me and them. But now I see a small baby lying on a bed. It is wrapped in something, but I cannot see what. Now I suddenly see my little brother Marcus. He comes to me and a small creature is holding his hand. He looks a little startled. Laughter, probably because he had not expected me here. We now continue walking. We go through a strange triangular door, and I see someone sitting there. Laughter. Marcus runs after me. We now go into another room, but there is hardly anything there. In the middle of the room is a pyramid. Next to it is a kind of armchair. The room is brightly lit, but you cannot see any lamps. The light is just there. Strange. A large human, male, creature is sitting in the armchair. He has long dark hair, bright blue eyes, and is wearing overalls. These are silver and have a badge, a symbol, on the left side of the chest. It is a circle with two hooks, which reminds me of a lightning bolt. Hello. He speaks like a human. He speaks with his mouth and in my language, in German. He asks how we are and tells Marcus that he is developing well. He likes us, he says. Now I see a star map in the room on which a constellation can be seen. The constellation looks like the badge that the tall man wears on his chest. But he doesn't tell me which planet they come from. The star map is brightly lit and hangs on the wall. He only shows me that their planet is the lowest. It is marked. The constellation looks like a lightning bolt. Now I also notice a computer in the room. The tall man explains to me that he is the only one of his kind on this spaceship and that only his little creatures accompany him. He also says that they have no leaders, no class differences, everyone is equal. Everyone has their own area of responsibility and no one is in any way more important than the other. Now he stands up and takes us both by the hand. He shows us our planet, the Earth. I am very sad. It is falling apart, says the big man. And he thinks that we humans are to blame for this. He explains that the small beings help us and that they themselves, the big ones, lead these small ones. There is obviously a deep connection between us humans and the big ones. But they are also partly responsible. He says that they brought us to Earth a very long time ago and are therefore also involved in it. They then developed us further through genetic interventions and therefore also look after us. He thinks that there are not so many of his kind here, because most of them could not endure it on Earth. They could not bear it. The behavior and negativity of the Earthlings makes them very sad. Now Marcus is being asked by the little one, and are taken away again and I am left alone with the big man. He now shows me where their sun is and explains that two planets are inhabited in their solar system. One of them is called Suma. At the moment, however, we are not on Earth, but on the moon. They have a base here. The little ones also have underground bases on Earth, where they take soil samples and also check the water. They can live underground and are perfectly equipped for this. From the bases they control and monitor us humans who have been selected and contacted by them. They protect us. But there are also negative aliens, he says. They have already had arguments with them. The negative ones wanted to go to the moon, but they would not allow it. They would not be tolerated on the moon. They are ugly, he says. They are about human size, but look different. They have evil eyes, he notes, and wear a badge with a snake in a circle on it. He says again that these would not be tolerated on the moon, that they, the big ones, are preventing this. The negative ones were already on Earth, in Russia and in America. He says with regret that people are stupid for getting involved with these negative beings. They had done evil things and had made some kind of exchange with the governments. They had given people various means so that they could conquer all diseases on Earth, but it must have been the exact opposite. The man says, however, that these extraterrestrials have now left the planet. He adds that these beings had no interest in Europe, but only wanted to play the major powers off against each other. Now they are outside the Earth's sphere and are waiting until people wear each other out and waste away from disease, so that they can then take over the planet. But the big ones will know how to prevent this. The big one explains that many people are not even aware that they are in contact with extraterrestrials. Many reject the idea of extraterrestrial life, but believe in angels or Mary. He goes on to explain that the apparitions of the Virgin Mary, or what many people refer to as angels, are in most cases nothing more than extraterrestrials, other than her and other visitors. They always appear in such a way, he says, that people can accept it and are not afraid. They want to help us and always choose the most appropriate way to give something to a person. He thinks that people are so narrow-minded and do not want to see beyond their own small horizons. He adds that they help all those who want to be helped. This also includes those who are picked up at night. These souls had agreed with them on this type of cooperation before their incarnation. They do not force themselves on anyone, but only make contact with those who want to of their own accord. Now Marcus comes back into the room. He is happy about it. He does not say much, but is not afraid either. I have known these beautiful beings for a very long time, Marcus too, he is happy. There are other rooms in this large spaceship. It is larger than other spaceships and has a smaller one loaded on it. It is a triangular flying ship and has three lights attached to the bottom. Now I am on the moon. There are a lot of spaceships on the moon. People are brought here because it is safer here. Safer from surveillance by the earthly governments and their negative aliens. Our mothership is now somewhere else, far away. The control panel in the room has the shape of a hand, a long hand with five fingers, engraved on it, and the man puts his hand in it. Like in the final scene of Total Recall, ADV, it is the control of the spaceship. A flow of energy is created. This is how the ship is controlled. Through the thoughts of the pilots. There are also buttons, they are all round instruments. Now we have to go again, we should look after ourselves, he says. Everyone, the whole family. He also says that we should pay attention to the signs that we would receive from them, sometimes in our thoughts, sometimes in another way. He goes on to say that time is non-existent, that time does not exist. Only we have the concept of time, only we on Earth. It is late. We have to go home before it gets light at home. The little ones lead us out and we fly home on the small triangular disc. These beings are not stupid, they use a protective shield that makes them invisible to us. We can only see them if they want to. We are now on the balcony, laughter. Now I am going to bed. This hypnosis was extremely fascinating for everyone and confirmed much of what Rain had also said. He had already reported. From Sandra's deep emotions it was clear that she had been in a deep trance and that the information could not have been made up. Nevertheless, we will leave it as it is for the time being, without any judgment. Shortly before the book was finished, on June 28, 1997, Chandra had agreed once again to be put into a trance. The following came to light. Sandra. I am in a spaceship and I am 12 years old. I can see a corridor that goes around. Someone is walking behind me, he is right behind me. I myself have to run ahead. He is very tall, has dark hair, big eyes, a light face and a black suit with a silver badge on his chest. It looks like lightning. His name is Osiris. But he doesn't tell me where he comes from. He doesn't look exactly like a human, a little different. His ears are smaller and so is his mouth. He isn't talking to me at the moment. Sometimes he speaks to me normally in my language, but he can also communicate with me telepathically. Now a door opens at the end of the corridor, from bottom to top, loud laughter. There are armchairs in which small gray beings are sitting. Oh, now one of them turns to me. They all look almost the same. This one tells me telepathically that I should come closer. It sounds strange when he speaks to me like a robot. They are sitting in front of a pane of glass through which you can see out. We are in space and I can see the Earth from a distance. The little gray one says that I should come closer so that I can see better. He now shows me various points on Earth, Mediterranean, Antarctica and mountains, probably Austria. But he shows me many other points and explains that they sometimes go there. But they have to be careful and always wait for the right time, because the governments on Earth monitor the immediate space around the Earth via their satellites. Raina, why are they taking the people? Is something being prepared? Sandra. He doesn't give me an answer. I can see the dots, but I can't say anything about them. You have to be careful, he says. They want to help us, but the governments are afraid of these beings. They are afraid of the power of these extraterrestrials. They want to help us, but they don't help everyone. They only help those who want to of their own accord, not the others. The great Osiris says that the little ones are like robots. The little ones are different from the big ones. They are beautiful and sweet, and are more advanced in development than we humans. They are beautiful, but they look a little different to us. I'm going back to the little ones now. All of them are sitting in their chairs. There are three little beings there. Now I'm going to the one in the middle. He's flying and steering the spaceship. Osiris is going away now, leaving me with the little ones. Although they are here too, I feel alone. They're not paying any attention to me anymore. I'm leaving the room now and going into another one. There's a couch here. Someone is lying on it. I go closer. Oh, it's Mom. She's sleeping. Two beings are with her. A big one and a small one. The big one is wearing red overalls, has long blonde hair and green eyes. He has a different badge than Osiris. It looks a little different. There are hooks on it, similar to lightning. After the regression, Chandra explained that it looked exactly like the Vril Society's badge. I'm standing there now and watching. They have to do some tests on Mom. The big one explains that they come from different planets, different extraterrestrials. But they all look very similar. He explains that they are of the same race, but have settled on many different planets on which they live today and therefore wear different badges. He doesn't do anything to Mom. She is also one of those who are being taken away. The big one thinks that if they don't take these people away, at night, they won't be able to survive. Spiritual development and the soul are the most important things, he thinks. He adds that they have also interfered with our development. Mama opens her eyes now. She has combed her hair back and now looks similar to these creatures but a little different. Now the big one says something to Mama. You have to be strong in the next few years. But Mama is not afraid. Now the big one looks at me kindly. We don't talk, Mama and I. There is a blanket over her, I am wearing pajamas. He strokes Mama's face and a small gray creature examines her. It is to be. A device moves along the body and examines what condition Mama's body is in, how badly it is already contaminated. It is only a small examination today and it is already finished. Mother, Ma now stands up and the big one takes her by the hand. We now walk further forward together towards the corridor. He now tells us that we must forget what we have seen here, for our own protection. We must now go home. We fly back in a smaller spaceship. Now I am back in the children's room. It all happened so quickly, somehow I came through the window, strangely. The spaceship can make itself invisible, you can't see it. It is 1986, March 25th. They picked me up at 1:05 a.m. and brought me back at 3:11 a.m. A few very important aspects have come to light among this information, which puts the scenario in a different light. Let us also look at another text, which without the information we have just learned might seem just as pointless and far-fetched, but now perhaps seems a little more solid. It is said to be a report from an alleged Vril insider to a Lodge member, but we don't know his name, where he comes from, whether we can believe him, or whether his claims are just more disinformation.